As soon as I heard about it, I knew right away, sir. Case for the Yard, I said.
It certainly sounds so. Is that the cabin over there?
Yes, sir.
Has anyone entered it, to your knowledge?
No. One look and then they ran down to the station. I knew right away, sir.
Yes. Yes, of course. You did absolutely the correct thing, Constable. Absolutely. Right. No one is to touch or move anything inside until I have completed my examination. Do you understand?
Yes, Inspector Hopkins.
Well, let's get to it then.
Oh, Lord.
Steady now. These flies. The place is like a slaughterhouse. A slaughterhouse.
Black Peter by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Dramatized for radio by David Ashton. With Clive Medicine as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. And featuring Alex Norton as Cairns and Andrew Wincott as Inspector Hopkins. Black Peter.
I had never known Holmes to be in better form, both mental and physical, than in the year of 95. His increasing fame had brought with it an immense practice, containing a curious and incongruous succession of cases, which ranged from his famous investigation of the sudden death of Cardinal Tosca, an inquiry which was carried out by him at the express desire of His Holiness the Pope, down to his arrest of Wilson, the notorious canary trainer, which removed a plague spot from the East End of London. And close on the heels of these two famous cases came the tragedy of Woodman's Lee and the very obscure circumstances which surrounded the death of Captain Peter Carey.
Molly! Where are you, my little lawful wife wedded? Where are you, my little Molly? Where are you, woman? Elizabeth, pretty little daughter mine, you there? Come on out. Come on, or I'll whip the skin off your bodies and both of you.
Oh, Elizabeth, if he finds us...
Shh, it'll be all right.
Are you coming out? Peter Carey, he wants his supper, and he wants it now. I'll only give you a little tap, Molly. Just a little tap. You, little trollop, where are you?
Right here, Father. I wish I had a gun to blow your head off.
No,
hide away, then. Hide away, and be damned to you like the rats you are. Damn. God help you. When I catch up with you, God help you. Because the devil won't. The devil won't, you see.
He'll be off to his cabin. He'll sleep then, you see. He'll sleep, Elizabeth. It'll be different in the morning.
Will it? He'll still be the same Black Peter. He'll never change. Nothing will ever change here.
Oh, it's getting dark. Let's get back into the house, eh? You wait till the morning. It'll be different.
Yes, I'll wait, Mother. It's all we can do, isn't it? Wait for the devil to come back.
That same night, Peter Carey had a visitor.
Oh, you think I owe you something, do you? You've waited all these years, and now you think some payment is due. You come sucking up to me like a parasite. You think you can get the better of Peter Carey, eh? Well, here's a knife. Says different. No!
Any doubt, Mr. Holmes?
Not at all, no. Harpooning's a skill I've yet to master, I fear.
Ah, there's more to butchery than meets the eye, sir.
Certainly more to this, I'd wager.
Dear me. Not much of this poor fellow left.
Nevertheless, Mr. Allardyce, I'm still unable to pierce it through with the one blow. However, last valiant effort. Stand well back, my friend. Not even a master butcher's safe in this arena. My porcine friend... Have at you!
Perhaps you ought to try lamb chops, sir.
It was the first week of July, and Holmes had been absent so often and so long from our lodgings that I knew he had something in hand. For my part, I had been endeavouring once more to put some order into my papers, and I had come upon some references to our earliest investigations. One of them, the sign of the four, provoked powerful memories in me, certainly some measure of joy, but also a deal of sadness.
Captain Ahab returns.
Good Lord, Holmes. You walked through the street of London carrying that.
Indeed, sir. I told the one curious policeman it was a toothpick for a whale.
Moby Dick, no doubt.
Now, tell me, Watson, would you regard me as a physically weak man?
Anything but.
Yes, and yet, if you'd seen me in Allardyce's back room trying to transfix a hanging pig with a single blow and failing most miserably, what would that tell you?
That I'd rather be a live human being than a dead pig. I take it that that harpoon is to do with the Carey case that's been in the newspapers.
Possibly.
And these rough-looking fellows who keep turning up to see you here, asking for a certain Captain Basil, would that also be to do with it?
It's possible. Possibly. Mm. Ah, what a glorious day. And lo and behold, there's our expected visitor, exactly on time. How efficient some men can be.
Who is this paragon?
Hopkins.
Ah, yes, the wire last night.
Yes, I have high hopes of Inspector Hopkins. Models himself on me, you know.
Other than that he possesses the same initials, I fail to see the resemblance.
Oh, yes, of course, Stanley Hopkins, yes. How observant of you, Watson.
I have my moments.
Dear me. The summer sunshine's failed to lighten your mood, man. What was wrong with you?
Nothing at all.
Come in, Hopkins, come in.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes.
Look a little weary. Would you care for some coffee?
No, thank you. I find coffee overstimulating.
That's what I like about it. Sit down.
I wish I could say why I didn't warm to Hopkins. Perhaps it was his overweening aura of ambition. Or perhaps his almost arrogant belief in his own abilities. An attribute more than shared by my friend Holmes. Whatever, it was hard not to feel a little sorry for him. Because here he was in charge of his first murder investigation. And, I'm afraid, getting nowhere.
Absolutely nowhere, Mr. Holmes. For the first time in my career, I have no idea what to do.
Well, perhaps you can begin with a little recapitulation. And what you have done.
Oh, gladly, of course. I investigated Kerr's past thoroughly. He was a whale and seal fisher, commanding the ship Sea Unicorn out of Dundee. He made a number of successful trips, but then in 1884 he retired, travelled the world for 5 years, then bought a small place in Sussex called Woodman's Lee. There he lived for 6 years.
And there he died. One whole week ago, I believe.
Yes.
What of the character of the man?
His nickname was Black Peter. Not so much for the colour of his beard, but for his humours. They were the terror of all around him. I have not heard one word of sorrow for his death.
How did these humours arise?
Well, most of the time he was a silent, gloomy fellow. But he was also an intermittent drunkard, and a perfect fiend when the fit was on him. He had been known to drive his wife and daughter out of the house and flog them through the ground.
Disgraceful. A man who would treat his wife like that.
Carry on, Hopkins.
Last Tuesday, he was in one of his darkest moods, flush with drink and dangerous as a wild beast. The women hid from him. The last they saw of him was his staggering off towards the small outhouse he had built for himself. He called it his cabin. He slept there every night, drunk or not. Kept the key and allowed no other foot to cross the threshold.
I shouldn't imagine there was a queue.
But someone called that night, did they not, Hopkins? Or do the newspapers lie?
Well, one of the windows of the cabin looks out into the road, and a stonemason, a man called Slater, swears that as he passed by, sometime near 1 in the morning, he saw a man's shadow on the blind. Bearded, but not like Carey. Short and bristled forward, he said, but it's a long distance from the window to the road, and the man had been a full 3 hours in the public house.
Well, not exactly a reliable witness, but a witness nevertheless.
But no trace has been found of this bearded fellow. And there was one other incident. It concerned the daughter, Elizabeth Carey.
Oh, no, rest, Mother, rest.
Oh, Lizzie, we are safe for tonight at least.
What'll become of us?
I'll think of something, never fear. Rest. Good night, Mother.
Good night, dear.
So, the daughter heard a scream, she says, but we only have her word for it. Whatever. In the morning, they noticed the door of the cabin lying open. Such was the fear the man inspired, it was a long time before anyone dared to look inside. And what they saw sent them running.
What had they seen, Hopkins?
I pride myself on my steady nerves, Mr. Holmes, but the place was buzzing like a harmonium. Flies, blue bottles, spinning around in a frenzy. And the blood, it covered the floor and walls. He had it fitted out like a ship's cabin. Maps, charts, a sea chest. On the wall, a picture of the sea unicorn. A captain's room. And there in the middle of it was the man himself, Peter Carey. His face twisted like a soul in torment. His great brindle beard stuck upwards in agony. A steel harpoon had been driven right through his breast, so that it had sunk deep into the wall behind him.
Good Lord.
He was pinned there. Pinned there like a beetle on a card.
Why did you not call for me immediately?
Well, I thought I could
solve it yourself.
Yes.
In the meantime, a week has passed by.
I applied your methods, Mr. Holmes, religiously. Every inch of floor and the ground outside I examined with supreme attention. There were no footmarks.
Meaning you saw none.
There were none.
My good Hopkins, I have investigated many crimes, but I've never yet come across one which was committed by a flying creature. But there must have been some objects that you failed to overlook, surely.
Of course. But to start with, the harpoon with which the deed was committed had been snatched down from a rack on the wall. And it seemed to me to establish a certain non-premeditation, as if the murderer had seized the first weapon to hand. Also, a bottle of rum and two dirty glasses on the table suggested that Carey may well have been keeping an appointment with the murderer. You see?
Hmm. Was there any other spirit in the room?
Whiskey, brandy, both untouched.
Whiskey, brandy. Yeah, that's interesting. So, Hopkins, you may tell me the rest of your discoveries on the train.
The train?
Well, I assume you'd like me to come down and have a look at all this?
Well, that indeed would be a weight off my mind.
What? The country air may invigorate you?
I shall come along, though I need no invigoration, thank you. But I'll tell you one thing, Holmes.
Yes, what's that?
Whoever killed Peter Carey may well have done the world a favour.
There was the tobacco pouch on the table with the initials PC and some rough ship's tobacco inside.
There was no pipe. I noted that from the inquest report.
No. Well, indeed, he smoked.
Had I been handling the case, I would have made that the starting point of my investigation.
But why?
Holmes is very keen on pipes.
I thought you were asleep.
Not yet.
Then there was a knife, was there not?
A sheath knife at the dead man's feet. Mrs. Carey identified it as her husband's.
Well, that would make sense. So, have we completed the haul?
Not quite. The most important, I have saved till last, Mr. Holmes.
Yes?
This notebook. I have concealed it so far to avoid alerting the murderer.
Thank you. Yes. Where did you find it?
On the floor of the cabin.
The floor. There's some discoloration here on the cover.
A bloodstain.
Bubble below.
On the side next to the floorboards.
Yes, proving, of course, that the book was dropped after the crime was committed.
Our deductions coincide, Mr. Holmes.
Indeed.
You will observe on the first page the initials JHN. On the second page, CPR. The other pages have various columns of signs and figures.
Yes. What do you make of them?
Well, they appear to be lists of stock exchange securities. JHN may be the initials of a broker. CPR, perhaps, is a client.
No. Try Canadian Pacific Railway.
Oh, of course.
My father had a few shares in it.
Oh, what a fool I've been. Well done, Watson.
Thank you, Hopkins.
So, JHN are the only initials we have left to solve. Those of the murderer.
Yes, possibly.
And if these lists relate to valuable securities, we may now have a motive for the murder. The game's afoot, Mr. Holmes.
Is it? Well, I must admit to both your points. Yes, I had come to a theory of the crime in which I... Well, I can find no place for this. No. This changes everything.
I'm sorry, gentlemen, but my mother is too ill to receive visitors at present. And I am sure, in any case, there is nothing left for us to tell you.
Just one thing, Miss Carey. This scream, in the middle of the night.
I heard it. Loud.
Then why not answer it?
Father often let out the most fearful yells. One got used to them.
You have my sympathies. It must have been very difficult.
Difficult? Yes, I suppose it was. I formed an attachment with a young man from the village, Robert Harnsworth. When my father found out, he called me the most vile names and beat Robert so badly. Would you like me to show you to the cabin?
No. No, thank you. Shall we, gentlemen?
When all this is over, I shall have it raised to the ground, the cabin. And in its place, I shall plant some rhododendron bushes.
Where them?
I like rhododendron bushes, Mr. Holmes. Don't you?
What do you think to Miss Carey, Watson?
She seems to have been under a great deal of strain.
Yes.
Mr. Holmes, come and have a look at this.
I was just about to open the door, but look.
Someone's been tampering with the lock. No doubt about that.
There's some marks on the window here as well.
Huh? Let me see. Yes, try to force it. Failed on both occasions. Very poor sort of burglar.
I could swear these marks weren't here yesterday evening.
Yes, then fortune's been rather kind to us.
What do you mean, Holmes?
Elementary. The person will undoubtedly return.
Indeed. Elementary. And bearing something larger than the blade of a small penknife. So it will be our fault if we're not here to receive him. Now, Hopkins, if we may use a more reputable means of entrance, let us examine the lair of Black Peter.
Most of the traces of the tragedy had been removed, but there were patches of dark reddish stain where the blood had soaked into the wood. For 2 hours, with the most intense concentration, Holmes examined every object inside the cabin, though I could see from his face that the search was not turning out to be a successful one.
Have you taken anything from the shelf, Hopkins? From beside the ship's logs here?
No, nothing.
Yes, there's less dust on the corner of this shelf than elsewhere. Yes, something's been removed. Yes, maybe a book on its side. Yes, more likely a small box. What are you doing, Watson?
Oh, I'm just trying to feed this fly. It's still alive.
Leave it, Watson. It's met its fate in that spider's web, then let it be. Peter Carey met his fate in this room, and so does the fly.
Getting very philosophical in your old age, Holmes. There. Buzz, buzz. Off he flies. And fate can go and jump in the river.
Well, on your own head, be it. So, I can do nothing more here. Let's walk in the woods, Watson. Give some time to the birds and the flowers.
I'll stay here on guard, in case our visitor returns.
By all means, Hopkins. I fear it'll be nightfall before that happens.
Better safe than sorry, Mr. Holmes.
Indeed. Couldn't have put it better myself. Well, Watson, have you changed your opinion on our Mr. Hopkins?
He seems enthusiastic enough, I suppose. Oh,
damning with very faint praise. And on such a beautiful day as well.
Yeah. I'm sorry if I've been a bit out of sorts recently, Holmes.
Not at all, my dear fellow.
Think back. This time of the year. Almost to the day, 7 years ago. When I first met Miss Mary Morstan, who later did me the honour of becoming my wife.
Yes, yes, of course.
Her death, well, I keep remembering her standing alone in our sitting room. So brave, so unaffected. Yeah, memory can play the very devil with you sometimes.
Yes, I'm sure it can. But we must learn to live in the present, Watson. However painful.
Accept our fate, huh?
We have no option. Come on, my friend. Back to the present.
I still think we could have waited inside the cabin.
No place to hide there. The important thing was to be able to observe what the object of this man's visit is.
If he comes at all.
I think our fly is approaching. We may take him now.
No, no, wait. That's it, my friend. Light up your candle. Let's have a look at you.
He seems rather ill at ease. A very frightened sort of burglar, I'd say, Holmes.
No, no, they must be here. They must be.
Now, my fine fellow.
Oh, my God.
Don't try anything. There are three of us and you have no chance of escape. Who are you and what do you want here? Quickly.
I must sit down, please.
Very well. No tricks, if you will. I am Inspector Hopkins of Scotland Yard, and these two gentlemen are assisting me. I advise you to answer me with the truth, otherwise...
I am innocent!
Of what?
Carrie's death! I know nothing about it.
Your name?
Nelligan. John Hopley Nelligan.
J.H.N. How interesting, eh, Mr. Holmes? What are you doing here?
May I speak in confidence?
Certainly not.
Then why should I tell you?
Because if you don't, it will go very badly with you.
But I'm innocent!
Come along! On your feet!
No, wait! Wait! I'll tell. Yes, I'll tell. Oh, but I hate to think of an old scandal getting a new lease of life.
Get on with it.
Yes, all right. Have you... did you ever hear of the names Dawson and Nelligan?
Yeah.
West Country bankers. They failed for £1 million. Nelligan disappeared about 12 years ago.
Yes. He was my father. It was said he stole all the securities and fled, but not true. It was not true.
Then what did happen?
My father believed that if he were given time to realise the securities, every creditor would be paid in full. He had friends in the banking fraternity in Norway. So he set out for there in his yacht, just before the warrant was issued for his arrest.
A common criminal.
He was not. He left my mother and me a list of the securities and swore he would come back with his honour cleared.
And?
He never did. He and the yacht vanished, utterly.
How convenient.
No! There were dreadful storms off the Norwegian coast at that time. So we believed that he and the securities lay at the bottom of the sea.
So, what has all this to do with your being here, eh?
Less than a year ago, I discovered that some of the securities my father had taken with him had reappeared on the London market. I managed to trace the original seller. It was Captain Peter Carey of Woodman's Lee. I thought if I could get proof from Carey how these securities came onto the market, well, it would show that...
That your father had no view to personal profit when he took them.
Yes. I came down here to confront Carey. But before I could do so, he died.
What a pity.
I read at the inquest a description of the cabin. It mentioned the old logbooks of his vessel, so I tried last night and then now to gain access to them.
You mean you broke in?
Well, I thought if I could find the period covered in the logbooks...
You might discover your father's fate.
Yes, but look. Look, the pages dealing with that month have been torn out.
So, you have nothing more to tell us?
No.
And tonight is the only time you have been inside this cabin?
Yes, the only time.
Then how do you account for this notebook with your own initials on it found in this very room?
Oh, Lord, no. I thought I must have lost it at the hotel. Oh, please, you must believe me.
Anything else you have to say, you can say in court, Nelligan. Oh,
please, no.
Well, Mr. Holmes, I can only apologise for dragging you and Dr. Watson down here on such an unnecessary journey. My ploy with the notebook, as I was sure it would, has paid dividends. Yes, it turns out that I have brought this case to a successful conclusion.
I'm only sorry we were unable to be of more assistance.
Oh, in other circumstances, Mr. Holmes, I'm sure that both of you would have been of great help. Of very great help.
Tell me, Watson.
What do you think of the Carey case?
All wrapped up, surely.
Thank you, Watson. You're a very great help.
Now, I think you're not completely satisfied with Mr. Hopkins' solution.
One should always look for a possible alternative and provide against it. That's the first rule of criminal investigation.
Yeah.
I'm very disappointed in Stanley Hopkins.
Let's see if the Morning Post can provide a few answers. Nothing there. Ah, yes, excellent, excellent. Yes, my alternative develops apace. Watson, have you telegram for me?
Yes, over here.
Yes, two messages, if you please. First, to Sumner, shipping agent, Radcliffe Highway. Mm-hmm. Send the three men on to arrive 10 tomorrow morning, signed Basil.
Captain Basil once again,
A second message to Inspector Stanley Hopkins. Important, be here tomorrow morning, 9:30, a necessary journey. Sherlock Holmes. This infernal case has haunted me for 10 days. Tomorrow, I trust that we shall hear the last of it forever.
Like father, like son, eh?
No, he was a good man.
Ran away with other people's money. So, that evening, you went down to Woodman's Lee, quarrelled with Peter Carey, and then killed him.
No, I abhor violence.
And terrified by what you had done, you fled, dropping the notebook behind you.
No, I only wanted the security.
So you killed Ford?
Not so, he was already dead.
What?
When I went there that night, the cabin door was open, I went inside. He was lying there, that spear thing sticking through him, and the blood all over. I ran away.
You confessed to being there that night.
Yeah, but not to killing.
You expect me to believe that?
Oh, no, please.
No doubt your motives were good. You wished to do the right thing by your father's creditors. But you committed murder, Mr. Nelligan, and no good motive can justify that.
Please believe me. Please believe me!
Lizzie? What are you doing, love?
Nothing really, Mother. See? His captain's papers. See? Now he no longer exists. Black Peter.
Oh, Lizzie.
By the way, we're having a visitor this afternoon.
Who?
Robert Harnsworth. I've asked him for tea.
But what about your Oh.
Yes. No longer exists. I never stop seeing Robert, you know. I've been meeting him secretly. He's been of great assistance. A tower of strength.
So, Nelligan is as good as confessed, and the case is over, Mr. Holmes. Over and done with.
You believe your solution to be the correct one?
Oh, it must be.
Tell me, Hopkins, have you ever tried to drive a harpoon through a body? Even a hanging pig, for instance?
I don't follow.
It's no easy matter, and demands a strong, practiced arm. The blow which killed Peter Carey was delivered with such force that the head of the weapon went straight through him and deep into the wall behind. My dear sir, you must pay attention to these little details. Do you honestly imagine that anemic youth and elegant capable of so frightful an assault?
He couldn't drive a knife through butter.
Exactly. Is he the man who hobnobbed in rum and water with Black Peter in the dead of night? No, no, Hopkins. It is another and more formidable person we must seek.
I admit the strength of the blow may be a slight drawback.
Slight.
But Nelligan was there that night, and I'm sure I have enough to satisfy a jury. I have laid my hand upon my man. Where is yours?
I rather think he's waiting on the stairs. I shall avail myself of these handcuffs, Watson, and I advise you to keep your revolver near to hand.
Mrs. Hudson, will you show the three gentlemen up, please, one by one?
Now that the scene is set, let us hope we find the actor who fits the part. Come in.
Morning, sirs. I'm searching for Captain Basil.
I am he. Your name?
James Lancaster, sir.
I'm sorry, Lancaster, but the berth's been filled.
Oh.
Here's half a sovereign for your trouble.
Oh, thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Lancaster was a small pippin of a man with ruddy cheeks and white whiskers. The second fellow was a long, dried-up creature whose name was Hugh Pattins. He also received his dismissal and a half-sovereign. The third applicant was a giant of a man
with a fierce bulldog face framed through a tangle of hair and beard. He dwarfed all of us in the room as he stood there, twisting his cap in his powerful hands, when Holmes asked him for his name.
Roger Cairns, sir.
Harpooner?
Yes, sir. 26 voyages out of Dundee.
Ready to start with an exploring ship?
I am that.
The wages are £8 a month.
Aye.
Have you your papers?
I have them here.
Yes. They seem to be in order. Yes, you're just the man I want. The agreement's on the side table over there, if you'd be good enough to sign it.
I'm sorry, sir, I'm no much with a pen. Where do I put my mark?
Just
there. God, watch it, you dusty twister!
I'm a police inspector, man. Let go of your hold.
No doubt you recognize this, my good fellow. A service revolver, pointing more or less at your temple. Now, draw back, if you will.
Curse you! No doubt. But my friend Watson here is an ex-army man and so totally impervious to curses. So why don't you just lean yourself back on the carpet? There's nowhere else you're going to go. You all right, Hopkins?
Just a bloody nose, but it'll stop.
Well, your pain will be assuaged, no doubt, by the fact that I've brought your case to a more satisfactory ending.
But how? Oh, I should never have forgotten. I am the pupil, you the master. But even now I don't see what you've done. What does it signify?
That you should never lose sight of the alternative.
Precisely. You were so obsessed with young Nelligan that you could not spare a thought to Mr. Cairns here. The true murderer of Peter Carey.
Now see here, mister. I killed Peter Carey, not murder. There's a difference.
Then let us hear it.
I knew Black Peter too well. I was ready, all right. It was him or me.
How came you there in the first place?
Yeah. Oh, it all began in 83. Here, help me sit up so I can speak easier, eh?
All right. But no tricks.
There's no much danger of that, is there? So, 83. Aye, August. Peter Carey was master of the Sea Unicorn. I was harpooner. We were caught in some damned rough seas off the Norwegian coast. We picked up this little craft. There's only the one man on it. A landsman and near done in too. The craft was smashed to pieces. All the baggage he had with him was this one tin box.
Nelligan, of course. What happened to him?
He disappeared. Second night in the ship and he disappeared. Fallen overboard in the heavy weather. No sign of the tin box either. Lost at sea, eh? And nobody asked any questions, so back we went to Dundee.
What happened next?
Peter Carey disappeared. That's what happened. Right out of the blue he did it. Disappeared, eh? Come into some money, they said.
But you kept a lookout for him, I'll wager.
Aye, I did. For many a long year.
Yes, and why?
Because I saw something in that second night that nobody else did. I'm a bad thirst on me here.
There's some coffee.
Have you nothing stronger? No rum of sorts?
No, afraid not.
Coffee.
I'm afraid you'll have to carry on unslaked, Mr. Cairns.
Aye, so be it. Well, not long back, I finally found out where Black Peter was. Through a sailor man he'd met up with in London. So I went down to see him. In his country retreat. Morning, Skipper.
Huh?
Fine place you have here. A very fine place.
What the hell are you doing round these parts?
Oh, I just came to say hello to an old shipmate.
Is that so?
Aye, I thought we could have a few yarns together. Talk over old times. Well, you see, nowadays things are hard, Skipper. No like when you made your fortune. Aye, times are hard now.
That's too bad. Oh, good day to you.
So I was there when you did.
What?
Make your fortune. Oh, the sea does take it out of a man. And as I say, times have been hard. Money's short. Money's always so short. Unless you come into some fortune.
Well, I couldn't countenance an old friend in such straits, could I? So now, you see my cabin over there?
A fine-looking place.
You come visit me there this evening. I'll see you all right.
That's kind of you, Skipper. Out of the goodness of his heart.
So, you went back that evening?
I did. He was waiting for me in the cabin. Three parts drunk and in a vile temper, though he tried to put a smile on his ugly face. He bade me drink up the rum and smoke my baccy. And we yarned for a bit. But the more he drank, the less I liked the look in his face. He took out a knife, started whittling at a piece of wood. I spotted the harpoon up in the wall from the sea unicorn it was, and its name. And I thought I might have need of you, my friend, before this night is out.
So, money you want, eh?
Just to tide me over, like.
They suppose you drunk all yours.
I'm not sure the pot should call the kettle black there, Skipper.
Don't you get insolent with me, man. Remember you tried that once and I flayed the skin off your back?
Aye, but you'd three men to hold me down then.
I need no help.
That tin box you have sitting up there seems familiar to me somehow.
Eh?
I saw you in the middle watch, Skipper. The landsman. I saw you tip up his heels and throw him over the rail.
You're a lawyer, Cairn.
I always wondered what happened to that box.
There's accidents, a storm. I was trying to save him.
Strange way of doing it.
He just fell overboard.
And my name's Davy Jones. Now look here, Carey. You cough up or else I'll be paying a little visit to the police. Straight, that's how it is. Skipper.
Oh, is that right? So you think I owe you something, do you? You waited all these years and now you think some payment is due. You come sucking up to me like a parasite. You think you can get the better of that Peter, eh? Well, here's a nice and different...
Even now I can hear that scream. I guess between me and my sleep I can tell you. So, I stood there for a minute with his blood splashing all round me. And I took the tin box from the shelf while I had as much right to it as him. And I got myself out of there.
But you left your tobacco pouch behind.
Aye. What a donkey I am.
Yes, indeed. Without that, I would have been sore pushed to find you.
Well, my bad luck.
Or fate?
Whatever. A queer part, though. I just got out the hut when I heard somebody coming, so I hid in the bushes. A man comes along. In he goes, sees Carey, lets out a yell like a frightened cat and legs it away out of there. Maybe he was after money as well.
The box. Where is it now?
At my lodgings. Ah, there's nothing in it.
What?
No money, nothing but paper, certificates. What good are they to me?
Ah.
Well, that's it fair and square. And I say that if I killed Black Peter, the law should give me thanks for I saved them the price of a hemp and rope.
It may fit round your own neck.
We'll see about that, Mr. Inspector.
Hawkins, I think it's time you remove Mr. Cairns here. He occupies too large a portion of our carpet.
Yes, of course. Mr. Holmes, You have saved me from a dreadful mistake. And yet...
How did I do it? Simple, really. From the start, it all pointed in one direction. The amazing strength and skill in the use of the harpoon, the rum and water on the table, the sealskin pouch, the coarse tobacco. It all pointed to a seaman, and moreover, one who had been a whaler. I was convinced that the initials PC on the pouch were a coincidence, since Carey seldom, if ever, smoked. It had to be a man of the sea.
But how did you find it?
Your nose is bleeding again, Hopkins.
What?
Oh. Sorry. But how?
Elementary. The only ship Carey ever commanded was the Sea Unicorn. Our man had to be a member of that crew. Now, before you consulted me, Hopkins, and merely from reports in the newspapers, I'd already spent 3 days in wiring to Dundee. At the end of that time, I'd ascertained the names of the crew of the Sea Unicorn in 83. When I found the name of Patrick Cairns among the harpooners, my research was nearing its end. I spent some days in the East End devising a tempting Arctic expedition under the name of Captain Basil, because I was certain that my man was still in London and would be desperate to leave the country, and behold the result.
Wonderful. Sherlock Holmes is indeed the master. I cannot thank you enough, sir. And you, Dr. Watson. You must think me all kinds of a fool.
No, just the one kind.
Come along, Cairns.
One thing, Hopkins.
I think some form of apology to young Nelligan might be in order.
Undoubtedly. Hmm. Of course. Come along now, man.
So Sherlock Holmes, eh? Well, at least I was catched by the best.
There was a deal of provocation. You may be lucky with the jury, Cairns.
Luck!
You'll need more than that.
I should have broken your nose, not just bloodied it.
Goodbye, Mr. Holmes. Goodbye, Dr. Watson.
Hopkins?
I shall be in touch with you shortly. As soon as I can.
I doubt it. You'll be too busy taking the credit.
So, Watson, all's well that ends well. Wouldn't you, sir?
Yes, I suppose so. I won't help that poor devil at the bottom of the sea very much, but as you say, Holmes, we must live in the present and make up for the past as best we can. Rest in peace, Mary. My beloved wife. Rest in peace.
Watson! I wondered if I might find you here, Watson.
Yes, well, chrysanthemums. They were always her favourite. Come along then, Holmes.
Sometimes I feel quite envious of you, Watson.
Oh, indeed? Why?
Because you've loved. And been loved. I shall never know that, or sorrow.
One does tend to lead to the other.
Yes, how strange. To feel so deeply strange.
However, to each his own.
Indeed. Oh, by the way, I've heard from Hopkins.
Mm.
The securities are recovered, Nelligan released, and I believe Miss Carey may shortly become engaged to a certain Mr. Robert Harmsworth.
A happy ending, then.
Yes, well, life has them sometimes.
And sometimes not.
And sometimes not. Whatever one thinks of life, well, I find it infinitely preferable to the alternative. Don't you?
In Black Peter, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Medicine and Dr. Watson by Michael Williams, with Alex Norton as Patrick Cairns and Andrew Wincott as Inspector Hopkins. Nelligan was played by Matthew Morgan, Carey by Steve Hodson, Elizabeth by Cyril Jenkins, Molly by Kate Binchy, and Allardyce and Lancaster by Philip Anthony. The violinist was Leonard Friedman. Black Peter was dramatized for radio by David Ashton and directed by Patrick Rayner.